It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome on in, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all well. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great, man, because we are at RGS, and our good friend Tim Jr. is going to be here with us today. And so we're pretty excited about that.
I will believe it when I actually see it. And I don't get a picture with his toes in the sand somewhere, drinking a virgin daiquiri on a beach.
We assume. But yeah, we do get the picture where it's kind of taken from a sitting position, and the phone is about waist high on him, and his legs are extended with just kind of a shorter pair of shorts, so you see the high quad and the knees and the toes, and then the beach scene. That's typically what we're getting.
He doesn't miss leg day, and he wants you to know it.
He doesn't. He's an athlete.
Yeah.
And he lets everybody know he's an athlete. But I'm excited to have Tim here today. We'll have a blast. We'll give you all the insights on how to get new siding on your house. Get your house up and looking great. We were just talking with Advanced Windows yesterday. So you get your windows all going.
Yeah.
Well, now we get your siding going.
Come on. You'll have a new house before you know it.
Think about that, though, Scotty. You really could build your entire exterior, the complete look to the outside between Advanced Windows and RGS. You could make your house look brand new on the outside. And I know people have seen that done in their neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah.
And it is going to become a very hot trend. I follow the real estate world really closely. And they're calling these interest rates the lock rates. And we're going to see more and more people over the next 10 years. Because it's not going to dip back into that 2.8 range that
probably
a lot of us were able to get to.
Well, and if it does, that means something bad happened. And you don't really want that to happen.
Yeah, anyway. We're hoping that doesn't happen. So you're going to rebuild your house. And Tim's going to help us understand how to do that.
So there's a lot of us out there that when it dipped, and it dipped good, you refinance, right?
Yep.
So now, you know, there's a lot of us in the twos or low threes, and you're like, I don't want to give up that interest rate. So what are two things you got going for you? You got an interest rate you love, and you got a ton of equity in your home.
Yep.
After the recent skyrocketing of home values, which are still there.
They're still there.
And so hey, there he is. No beach for Tim.
But he is in shorts. He's still in shorts, and he's got a tank top on.
And a little flippy floppies.
In case a beach breaks out at any moment.
So you got a ton of equity in your home, and you got a great interest rate. So, hey, make your home your dream home.
Yeah.
And they'll make it happen for you.
So we'll talk to Tim here in a little while and get you caught up with some of those things. Outside of that, Scotty, that Jazz game last night was a lot of fun. It was fun. I'm going through so many different emotions in this Jazz season. I've never experienced this many emotions. You know, I kind of get the same emotion that I went through when we went through the Paul Millsap era.
Oh,
or the Al Jefferson era.
Yeah.
Where it's like, just figure out what you're going to do. Either get better or get worse, but you're just staying here doing this. I go through that emotion, but then I go through the emotion of, holy cow, man. Who would have thought in a season we could have seen Walker Kessler starting, Ochai Agbaji get a lot of minutes, see reps from Fontecchio and get Balmaro out on the court, and I know that those
even Udoka got some minutes last night.
Yeah, even Asabuke got a few minutes last night, and still see the Jazz get a 120-102 win over Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
So I'm going through all these weird emotions, and I'm watching this Jazz team tip off, and I'm like, all right, it's time. Just lose to Charlotte and let them continue their well, I think that would have been their third or maybe their fourth win in a row or whatever it is. They caught a little bit of a streak. But nope, Jazz played good. They played good pretty much throughout. The first quarter was a little sloppy. It wasn't the best basketball. Anybody that watched it, it wasn't the best basketball, I think, on either side. But still, the Jazz go and get a dominant win. And you're getting to see Walker Kessler face up against some of the bigs. Mason Plumlee's not a pushover.
No, no. Look, this guy's going to be a special player. There's no doubt. And watching him continue to dominate guys that are his level. I mean, we talked to, was it David, I think, last week when we looked ahead of the schedule, and he pointed out Mason Plumlee, like, that'll be a good matchup for him.
Yeah.
Dominated it.
Yeah, he did. He did. Mason got him early on a couple of different things, but Walker Kessler had a rebound over the top of him, dished it back out to about the free throw line, made a really good move at the basket. It was dished back to him, and he ended with a dunk right over Plumlee, and it was really pretty. There were so many great moments last night.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching this team, and I'm thinking, I get excited because it's like, geez, look at the future. And the future's winning now. We're not having to wait in the future to see the future win. They're winning now. But there's another part of me that's like, geez, man, let's. But here's the thing. This is what I keep telling myself. It's not exact science. The lottery is not exact science.
No.
It's called a lottery for a reason. And that lottery has gotten more and more difficult to predetermine with your win and loss records.
Well, you get the worst team has, what, a 14%, 15% chance?
The three worst teams each have 14% yeah. chance.
So that's not great.
The fourth, I think, is at 12%. It's Jazz future. Ochai is Jazz future. Larry Markkanen is Jazz future. Colin Sexton is Jazz future. And these guys are winning. I think Mike Conley's probably out the door. I wish that you could keep Jordan Clarkson. I don't know what ends up happening with him. I thought he was great last night in a lot of different moments. He's so creative, and when he starts hitting on the outside, it's fantastic. And I thought that the Jazz played really good on the perimeter. I thought that Charlotte shot ugly at times, but I thought that the Jazz contested well at the perimeter. I could tell that Walker Kessler got his butt chewed. Because you watch him close now.
Yeah.
And he'll probably make that mistake a few more times, but you can see that it means something to him.
So I'm just looking at standings here. You got San Antonio with 14 wins, Houston with 11, Detroit with 12, Charlotte with 13. You're going to see Victor and Scoot on two out of those four teams. That's probably where the Jazz needed to be if they were taking this thing seriously, if they really wanted to lose. You can tell that this is an organization that just wasn't ready to go down that path.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that's the right move. Maybe it's the wrong move. I don't know. But for you as a Jazz fan out there, and you're going to an arena, and that arena still have a lot of people sitting in those seats, I think that there was some early projections that attendance, if you were, you know, an 11-12 win at this point, you'd probably be seeing ticket sales drop 25-30%. Well, that's not happening. The Jazz will finish at probably around 500. Then you'll also see, you know, Minnesota probably hovering around there at 500 as well. And so, yeah, you'll probably have anywhere from the two picks in the 13-16 range. Not great, but there are, I mean, that's in the range of where Donovan Mitchell is taken. Like, you can, I go back to what, you know, the question that you asked Ryan Smith, and Ryan Smith's answer was, it's not about where we pick, it's about the resources and the work we go into making sure that we pick the right guy at the right spot. If we do that, we're going to be just fine, because there's a lot of gems out there. Jazz are just going to have to identify it. This team and this organization just is not committed to losing. And I applaud them for that. That's an easy way to go. It could have been very easy, but they couldn't swallow it. They didn't want to do it. Danny Ainge and Ryan Smith, it's not in their DNA, so they didn't do it.
There's something about them not doing it now that makes me believe the trade deadline is not going to be an effort to do more losing.
Yeah.
Because they haven't really done a lot of losing. I feel like the trade deadline is going to be, all right, well, let's make sure that we keep ourselves on a level playing ground where at the very least now we can maximize the opportunity to get our young guys some postseason experience. That's what I'd be looking at this point, you know, where I've got a team now that's 25-25, sitting right at 500, sitting in the seventh spot. They're winning enough. They're beating the teams they're supposed to beat. They're in every game, pretty much every game. Yeah. Doesn't matter if it's the one seed out of the East or the one or two seed out of the West. They're in every game, if not winning every game. And so, at the very least, at this point, I'm saying I want to see Walker Kessler, Ochai. I want to see a bit of Colin Sexton. I want to see Lauri Markkanen. I want to see these guys get real solid postseason experience, because that's where we're at right now.
So you want this team to get to the postseason?
So I want, now I'm feeling like, because as you just mentioned, you're not going to outlose Detroit.
No.
You're not going to outlose.
They've already exceeded the amount of wins they should have had if you really want to be in those sweepstakes.
Exactly. You're not going to outlose Houston or San Antonio. There's going to be three teams, there's going to be four teams that finish with the worst record no matter what you do. So at this point in the trade deadline, if you do move a couple of pieces out, I'm kind of hoping that they stabilize to at least get some postseason experience for the youth that's playing so well right now. And there's a part of me that's watching Walker Kessler do what he does, and I keep thinking to myself, with that youth, that guy is so young, so experienced. If you had the number one overall pick and you were looking at a guy like Walker Kessler, it'd be a nice shot to take because he's got that type of upside. So you've got a guy on your roster right now that's worth getting that postseason experience and is worth kind of pushing the tempo, because maybe him, Lauri Markkanen, Ochai, and Sexton being some of the future of this team, maybe them with a couple of additions, a couple of smart moves, keep winning, keep that winning spirit, keep them motivated, and see what happens that way.
I also look at regular season experience, and this is why, I mean, it would bum me out if Mike Conley got traded, but I also think that if you think Colin Sexton is your point guard going forward, then you might need to clear a path for Colin Sexton to become that guy and then deal with the ups and downs and the issues that may come from that in his learning and progression now, as opposed to next year or, you know, 2 years from now. So, you know, if you're talking about postseason experience, I think there's a ways to say, like, all right, is Colin Sexton your point guard going forward?
Yeah.
All right, well, what's the best way to find out? Well, maybe pick up an asset for Mike Conley and just throw him to the wolves and say, you're a point guard. Let's go. Let's see if you can handle it.
The more and more I pay attention to some of the national writers and guys that I trust, and we'll hear from, I think Kurt Heelan's going to be joining us on Thursday, and is Beck coming on tomorrow, and Howard Beck on with us tomorrow, so we'll have some really great national minds that will walk us through what exactly the market is out there for Mike Conley. But the more I read and the more I listen, and you saw Kurt Heelan put out a piece today on Mike Conley's potential exit out of Salt Lake, I think he's gone, and I think you're right. I think you move him, you get a piece, and you try to position Sexton or whatever you're looking at trying to do with some of these younger guys. But I still think if it's at the risk of tanking from this point and losing from this point, I don't want to see that now. I don't want to see it now.
Well, no, and I don't think anything they do is in terms of tanking. I think it's, if they lose games, it's because they're evaluating going forward if guys can handle certain situations. And if they can't, then it'll probably, any trade the Jazz make is not going to be in hopes of winning this year. And any trade that they make is not going to be in hopes of losing this year. It's about acquiring assets and evaluation. Evaluating your roster, putting guys in situations to see if they sink or swim, and creating assets for the future.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that to a large degree. I could deal with that to a large degree. I think Jazz fans probably can deal with that to a large degree because I think the future is bright, and they feel like the future is bright with the four guys that I've just mentioned being the staple guys and guys that I would be shocked to see moved at any point through this season. So I'm okay with that, but we had Ben Anderson on our Jazz Insider yesterday, and I asked Ben, what's worst-case scenario for this Jazz team? And he said, finish in the 11th spot, just outside the postseason.
Yeah.
You know, you got way too many wins that keeps you at the bottom of the lottery, and you don't get that playoff experience. I agree with it. I'd rather see them finish in the 9-10 at this point, get them a couple of games in the play-in, maybe an opportunity to finish in the 7-8 so that they can get the postseason experience and so Jazz fans can have a little bit of postseason excitement.
Yeah.
Scotty, we've gone through a season or two without postseason around here. It sucks.
No fun. No bueno.
It sucks.
And frankly, I think
it's tough.
Playing in the play-in would elevate things a little bit because you have a little bit of an NCAA tournament feel to it.
Yeah, it's a one and done. It's an elimination. And I would, at very minimum, I'd like that.
How much fun would it be if it's the Jazz and the Timberwolves in a play-in game?
I think that would be I think that'd be remarkable. I think it'd be very interesting.
I think we'd have some fun with that.
Yeah.
But the Jazz get the dominating victory last night over the Hornets. And, yeah, not a lot of drama last night. And Gordon Hayward is a shell of his former self and a guy that took a really interesting career path. And Boston thought that they got a complete steal when they were able to lure him away. Jazz fans thought, oh, all those steps that Dennis Lindsay talked about, they fell down the stairs backwards. Donovan Mitchell shows up, and the Jazz stay even.
Yeah.
And Gordon Hayward has never been what Gordon Hayward was here in Utah. And that happens to a lot of guys. Now, it's not happening to Donovan Mitchell. His best basketball is ahead of him. But, I mean, we go back to that fateful day on the 4th of July, where we're all in studio and coming in studio, leaving studio, coming back in studio, and doing live radio during that stretch. I mean, it really kind of felt like the world had just come to an end.
It was tough. And then you watch Gordon Hayward minus 22 on the court last night.
Yeah.
Minus 22. Not only could he not do things offensively, and it's not that he really pushed the tempo offensively, he didn't even take a three, but he struggles defensively. He does not look like the Gordon Hayward that I remember leaving this state years ago. And that Hornets team is really, really struggling. That's a bad team. They hit two threes last night. Two. They went 2 of 16 for 12% from three last night.
Not good, Bob.
Oh, man, that's bad. And the Jazz, I would say the Jazz, I'll have to go back and look at it, but they've got consecutive games hitting 40% or better. They're starting to hit a little bit better from the perimeter, which is nice to see. Last night was a really good night for this team. Lauri Markkanen was 500, 4 of 8. Malik Beasley was 500, 3 of 8. Mike Conley was 500, 4 of 8. And even Fontecchio got in on the action in the short time that he had. It was dished out to the perimeter, and Fontecchio knocked down. I think it was a catch-and-shoot, if I remember
right. I believe you're right. Yep.
Oh, I think it was a catch-and-shoot, and he banked it in. You remember?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yep. I think it was a catch-and-shoot, and he banked the thing in off the right wing.
Yeah.
So I'm all over the board. I think people know that I've become quite the Jazz nut, not a fan, just interested in their development and their growth. And I really do love the NBA. And right now I'm watching a Jazz team that sparks my interest. It holds my interest. But a Jazz team that you know has to have two more pieces, two more real good pieces.
Well, and okay, so you've got tons of assets in
You're
terms
loaded.
Of trading. You're loaded. Look, you're never
going to. Can you remember a year that it's been this good?
No.
In our time or even in your time?
Nope. I've been doing this for a while. The post John and Carl years, they had a ton of salary cap space, and that's when they spent a ton of money to get Boozer and Okur, re-sign Harper, and give Andre a big ton of money. I remember there was a summer where Larry H. Miller spent, and it was just an unheard of amount of money for the Jazz, $250 million in contracts and contract extensions. Now, that you don't even blink an eye at that number over a summer.
Yep,
that can go to like one or two guys before it's all said and done. So, but yeah, this is a ton of flexibility. Now, you're never going to be able to trade up to the number one or number two spot in this draft. You could send your next 8 first-round picks, and whoever's holding on that number one or number two, they're not passing up on Victor or Scoot. That's just not going to happen.
Not a chance.
But there is also a lot of depth in this draft. And remember, you go back to Danny Ainge, and you know Tatum wasn't a guy that was a household name, but yet he zeroed in on him and said, that's the guy we think we can build around. And years later, Boston has got a superstar in their hands. I'm just going to be like, I'm coming to the angle of like, look, your number one and number two guys are gone. It is what it is. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the development of these guys. And then pick up whatever assets you can get along the way. And if it's that 11 spot, that sucks. But this team is certainly a whole lot better than what we thought they were going to be.
They're fun to watch.
They are fun. All right, we are live here at RGS Exteriors. The man is here, and he's in person joining us now. Tim is with us.
Hey, guys. I'm always there.
How you doing, boss? It's good to see you.
Hey, you know.
You look tan.
Did I look tan?
Yeah.
Well, look, last time, I can't remember where I was at last time.
I can't either.
You know what? I wasn't even playing. I was at a wrestling tournament.
I know, but usually we give you a hard time.
Yeah.
Usually you're out there with your vendors.
We try.
And you're out there doing some type of work. It's just nice you get to mix work and play.
Look, there's no question about it. Joking aside, I'm very blessed and grateful to build it up. Like next week, right? The International Builder Show's in Vegas, and I'm going to be there. And why? Well, why would we go there to a builder show? Well, because I can see the latest and greatest products. And I think it's really important for us to always be on the leading edge and cutting edge of everything we do. And so by me going to these conferences and these trade shows all over the country, it makes us so that we're doing the best of the best.
Scotty and I did that a couple of years ago. It was the Electronics Show.
Yeah, the National Broadcasters NBA or NAB.
That just sounds like a big drunk fest is what that sounds like.
A what? Drunk fest?
A big drunk fest. Yeah. Just an excuse for guys to drink.
Well, we did take Lloyd.
You know, it's kind of funny when you go to these conferences and they know the non-drinkers, right? Everyone wants to come and get your drink tickets.
Oh, yeah.
I bet.
Bargain for those.
You're like cigarettes
tickets
in prison with those things.
Yeah,
man.
And it's like, hey, oh, you got a drink ticket? Oh, you don't drink? Hey.
Yeah, I'm going to need your buffet ticket, though.
Yeah.
And I'm going to need a percentage off on this hearty plan.
Anyway, no, but it's good to be here. We're good. It's good. You know, there's some excitement right now. I know it's cold and kind of miserable, but there's some excitement in the air. Interest rates came down a little bit last week, which is really good to see. You know, as I'm talking to a lot of these national guys, they really feel like that Utah's pretty shielded, and we're going to be pretty solid in Utah, and remodeling is going to be absolutely huge for 2023.
That's where it's headed, isn't it?
And Hans and I have been talking about the fact that a lot of people have always assumed that they would just, all right, you know what, we're in this house, and eventually we'll sell this house, and then we'll move up and get another house or build our dream home. Well, you locked into an interest rate at, 2.7 or whatever the case was.
You're leaving.
And you're not leaving that rate. There's no way you're swapping that rate out. So take the equity in your home, and let's build the house that you want and get the exterior that you deserve.
Yeah, and that's exactly kind of our niche and what we've been focused on for years is this, that. Let's make your home your dream home. And look, those 2% and 3% interest rates probably are never coming back. I mean, you'll never know. Hopefully, they will be. But the national
hands, if it does, it means something actually bad happened.
That's probably true. That's a good point, actually. And everything that I'm hearing and seeing is that 5% is going to be our new normal. Right? That's going to be, if we get down to 5%, that's where we're going to be permanently. And so, look, if you got a 2% or 3% interest rate, you're not going to want to get a new home to increase that 2%. It's a huge difference. And so, if you can stay where you're at, and look, we have a lot of financing options to take that and bridge that gap, whether we are financing it for 5, 10 years, or if we just do a 6 months or 12 months, what we call a no-no, no interest and no payments. You can get the project done today and not pay anything. And so that's kind of what we're here for. And whether it's siding or anything else like that, that's what we're here. Now, focus right now today, just for just a second, I think we really want to focus and talk about your gutters, because what's happening right now? We're getting calls every day. Hey, my gutters are leaking. Well, we get out there. What is it? They're full of ice, right? Everybody's gutters in the state right now are just completely full of ice and ice dams. So we got a solution to that. And that's what we're here. And we kind of want to push and promote today is that call us up and let's take care of those frozen gutters. Let's get some heat tables, some heat cave in there and to come up and melt that ice and snow so that we can prevent those leaks.
It's really simple, and let's get you squared away right now. RGS Exteriors is here to help you. And again, all the latest trends, or, you know, you go to these conferences and they're like, hey, this is what people are looking at. It's either white or black or
purple.
Is it still white or black?
I don't know. We'll find out.
It's purple hitting.
It's white or black right now. I hope purple doesn't hit. Jay Hill doesn't even bleed purple anymore.
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
So that's purple's gone. And you know me, I bleed red that way.
Yeah.
Blue
yeah.
when it comes to BYU, but anyway.
Oh, no, I get it. But yeah, here's the deal. Just make the call. Have some of the experts come out. Look at the house. Look at what the project is that you're looking at. Get you some price and get you going.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Doesn't cost you a dime to have somebody come out to your house, right?
No. Just have the guys come out. They're really low-key. We're not a high-pressure company. We just want to give you the best options. So let our guys come out, take a look at it, call us up. Let's look and see if we can make a deal for you.
I'm looking at the notes from Kurt, and I don't have a number. What number do you want people to call?
Let's not my cell. Let's not do that. Let's do it. 801-280-3110. 801-280-3110.
801-280-3110. Let's go. Call now. Get on the books. 801-280-3110. Right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Joining us now is new BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill. You're going to a conference in the Big 12. What do you think this defense needs to be able to compete at the level that you guys are going to need to compete at?
We're always, as coaches, looking to improve the roster, the talent, the physicality, the size. And it's no different here. We got to upgrade the speed. We got to continue to bring size into the roster. And that's to be expected, right, going into the Big 12 and all the offenses we're going to be facing. We just got to elevate everything we're doing, and that's coaching too. We got to do a great job with schemes and techniques, tactics, everything we're doing. We just got to elevate our game a little bit.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10, presented by Murdoch Chevrolet, proudly serving Utah since 1926 on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all having a tremendous day. How you doing, buddy? You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Just excited about this Jazz team and excited about the future of this Jazz team. Did you watch Horton Tucker a little bit last night?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think he's worked himself into a bit of trade bait?
Does he
add much to a team if a team's looking for something? There were a couple things that I saw last night from him. Number one, he's still got a lot of power. There's a lot of muscle behind that hustle. Number two, he showed he's got some real passing ability. Last night, multiple on-spot passes that led to great shots, great looks at the rim. Number three, he got a dish out to the corner, and he made a move at the rim and put down a thunderous dunk that was just pure entertainment. So you don't get to see THT get a ton of time, but when you're seeing it, he's doing some pretty darn good things. I mean, he's not a Malik Beasley type trade asset.
Yeah.
But I do wonder if he brings any type of interest.
I do think I put him in the category of let me see more from him. And then let me make my decision on what the future holds for him. Like Beasley, Vanderbilt, Conley, Clarkson. Like those guys, you know who they are.
Yeah.
Right? And other teams know who they are. So those are guys that you know what you're going to get out of them. And it doesn't really move the meter that much. I mean, it doesn't. You're not going to learn anymore. Horton Tucker, that's a guy that, you know, okay, let's see. Maybe expand his role after trade and see what's available there.
Well, and they kept him 22 minutes on the court last night, gave him some real opportunities, and really got him involved quite a bit. Quite a bit more than you've seen him be involved throughout parts of the season. So, to your point, there might be a bit of that going on.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got this piece, too. Take a look at this guy. And he plays with a lot of energy, and he's just fun. He's a bowling ball out there. He's really tough for people to stop when he gets going, because he does have some pretty darn good lateral movement when he gets going in the lane. It's almost crazy to watch, just to see his build and size and thinking, oh, well, he's just going to blow somebody over. And I think a lot of players actually get themselves into a position and cover themselves up and looking to take the charge, because in their mind they're thinking, oh, this guy, all he knows is how to muscle.
Yeah.
And he'll give you a quick shake right there and get by you for an easy layup. He does a couple things I really like.
There's a lot to be excited about. I love some of the young pieces on this team. And you have a chance to see these young pieces in play as it's a Team 49 Tuesday, Hans.
Nice.
How would you like to see Luka?
Oh, nice.
The Dallas Mavericks. Caller number 12 right now. Again, we'll be giving away tickets every hour, all day long. It's a Team 49 Tuesday. Caller 12, 801-575 zone. You'll win a pair of tickets. See the Jazz take on the Dallas Mavericks at Vivint Arena coming up on Saturday night. Again, 801-575 zone. That's 801-575 zone.
That'll be a good game to be at. That'll be a fun one to be at.
Yes. You know, and you get to see Luka do his thing. You get to see the Jazz trying to, you know, cause some problems there. By the way, do you see, I think it's funny when the Jazz have a lot of assets, they're going to be in a lot of conversations. And last, you know, I saw Luka trending on Twitter and I'm like, wait, what? What did Luka do? And it was from Jazz fans thinking, hey, you know, maybe the Jazz can pull off a trade for Luka. Not happening, folks.
Damian Lillard, maybe.
Damian Lillard might happen.
Luka, not
going to happen.
Not in a billion years. You got to take a look at the history of Mark Cuban with his foreign players that have led him to a championship. He will never give up on
that. No, and Mark Cuban essentially set his franchise back a couple of years just to keep Dirk around and honor him and let him go on his victory,
yeah.
Or I mean his retirement tour.
He did. Luka will win a championship at some point in his career if he stays with Mark Cuban, because yeah. I think Mark at some point will push all chips in and he'll go full bore and catch a little bit of magic in a bottle like he did that year that he went on to win it with Dirk. Now, Luka will get one. Damian, not going to get one in Portland.
No.
And Damian's time in Portland, it's got to be done. It has to be.
Would you put a 32-year-old Damian Lillard on this team with 12 years of experience in the NBA and on the downside of his career?
You know,
owed $30 million this year and I think $31 million next year?
I've heard a little bit.
Actually, hold on. Let me check that.
I've heard a little bit of the buzz of the possibilities, and I know that there's a lot of conversation out there, but Scotty, I haven't actually sat down and put his name on paper next to Lowry, put his name on paper next to whoever. Whether we're
by the way,
about.
And I don't think it's really worth the time to do it because I don't see it happening.
I don't either. But there's something.
Ooh, that, never mind. All right, so.
I was going to say 30 sounded like.
Yeah, no, I was thinking of another contract I looked up the other day. Damian's 42 this year, 45 next year, 48 next the year after that, 58 in 2025, 2026. And he's got a player option for $63 million in the 26-27 season.
So what you do is you take that 10-foot pole that you wouldn't touch him with, and you extend it to 16 feet, and you don't touch it.
He could be making $63 million on a player option, which I'm sure he would pick up at the age of 36, maybe 37 years old.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that age right?
Oh, boy.
Would he be 36 making 60-plus million?
Now I got to make sure I'm right on his age because I screwed up already on his salary. I was looking at him the other day. Let's see here. Damian Lillard is, 32 years old. All right. So let's just go through this. Damian Lillard's 32 right now, making 42. Next year, he'll be 33, making 45. The year after that, he'll be 34, making 48. 35, he'll be making 58. And at 36 years old, he'll be making $63 million.
Yep. That's out of the question. Even if you thought his addition next to Markkanen, Kessler, whatever happens with Ochai, whatever happens in the draft, whatever you're able to get with whatever situation, I just can't speculate and project that that number would fit. As much as I would love to see Damian Lillard back in this state.
Now you rewind that 4 years, and Damian's 28 when these numbers start. Man, you take a look at it. It's a different story.
Yeah.
If he's 32 making $63 million, you can have that conversation.
But as far as just Damian Lillard, if you strip the contract away and you put him on this court next to Lauri Markkanen, I could see that working. Put him on the court with Kessler, I could see it working. But I also have watched it work, but not really work, in Portland for a lot of years. And he's had some good pieces around him. I've always felt like that he had a couple of different good pieces around him.
Yeah.
There were a couple Portland rosters that I thought should be at least in the conference finals with an opportunity to see themselves in the NBA finals.
And just never, you know, whether it's LaMarcus Aldridge, it didn't work, CJ McCollum didn't seem to work. Like, it just, they've tried to put it together and it just hasn't clicked for him, which is unfortunate for sure. But still, it's just, I think it, if there's one guy out there that could go out there and say, hey, I want to trade, I want to chase a title, it'd be Damian Lillard. But the fact is, nobody in the league is going to look at that contract and say, okay, yeah, we'll take that on.
60
at his age.
60 what million?
63 when he's 36 years
old. That's a player option?
Player option. Which at that point, you got to keep that option. You're not turning.
Yeah, we'll see where contracts are in 5 years. But I can't imagine he's going to get that far down the road and be like, yeah, I'm going to throw away the 68, fight for a new contract. Maybe. We'll see where contracts are. We'll see where he is. But it seems like that's going to be a nice little safety net for him. $68 million or $63
million. Just a reminder.
$63 million.
Just a reminder for all you kids out there, when you're throwing out trade ideas, just go to, you know, there's Sports Rack or Hoops Hype. There's a lot of great sites out there that give you all the contract infos you need. So before you start hammering out, hey, this is the trade I'd do, just take a look at the salaries first.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing with the Jazz, and I think Dennis Lindsay ran into this a little bit. He acquired a bunch of assets, cap space, and then I think he was like, okay, you know what? If I go all in, I got to make it count. And I got to make sure that I'm able to hit. And they went all in on Mike Conley. And it didn't work. I mean, they were a great team and they were number one seed in the West, but they didn't win a title.
Took Mike a while to adapt.
Exactly. And so that's the thing. When you have all this space and you have all this money and you have all these picks that the Jazz are going to have, and you're Danny Ainge, you're like, okay, when I go all in, I got to hit. And I got to bring a title in. Because once you go all in, then your window starts to shrink really quickly. And the Jazz had about that 2-3 year window with Mike Conley. And it didn't work with him and Rudy and Donovan. And so you got to know when to shoot your shot. You got to have the assets to shoot that shot. And then when you do, you know, in terms of the great philosopher,
King? Don Knotts?
Yes, that's it. when you shoot for the king, you better not miss.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Because the king, you wing the king, he's bringing the entire empire.
Denzel. Denzel was what I was thinking of.
Yeah, Denzel. Better than Don Knotts. More of a philosopher than Don Knotts.
Yeah. Was that training day?
Yeah.
When you come for the king, you better not miss.
Yeah, you better not miss. His best performance, probably.
King.
Probably.
It's either that or for me, I love Man on Fire. He was really good in that. But he's kind of the same.
I would still say Training Day is probably number one. I watched like one of those Equalizer movies. Those were trash. That was trash.
They're trash. But he had some heavy weight to carry with Ethan Hawke as a co-host. All right.
You're not a big Ethan fan?
Not really, no.
Hands and Scotty, this is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Lil Xan looks like the type of kid I'm going to have to prepare to throw out of my own house.
Like has tattoos on his face.
Yeah, at like 14 years old.
Yeah.
He got his first face tattoo, which I'm all for face tattoos.
Are you?
Yeah, just not on 14-year-old.
What should Ben get for his face tattoo?
First tattoo being a face tattoo is a leap.
Yeah, go for it. Be bold.
I guess so.
Be bold,
man. You're going to do it.
Let's do it.
Go for
let's
it.
Let's do it. I got nothing going on until the game tonight.
Will you please, on your neck, just write Ben. Write your name.
We'll take a field trip after the show and Ben a tattoo.
It's honestly a good marketing tool. You should do it.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. The Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right. Yeah.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Show.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Remind me to show you an email during the break.
Okay. So, a little bit of what you may have missed, Scotty. Utah Jazz guard Mike Conley said that he was invited to participate in the NBA Skills Challenge, and he told our very own Ben Anderson that he plans to compete in the All-Star Weekend event.
There's going to be some local players and some former players that are going to have a little bit of a role in All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
Outside of the game itself.
This is according to Ben Anderson's piece at KSLSports.com. Conley discussed the events following the win over the Hornets. It says that he told KSL Sports that he plans to compete in the Taco Bell Skills Challenge. And that challenge will be February 18th at 6 p.m. February 18th at 6 p.m. And it's going to be televised on TNT.
Yeah.
An opportunity to see Mike Conley participate. And we should have, what is it, end of this month, isn't it, where we start to hit some all-star teams.
Yep. Coming up.
So we should know about Lauri Markkanen coming up.
Very quickly.
Very, very quickly.
Yeah.
By all projections, Lauri Markkanen will be, in fact, playing in that.
Would be shocked if he's not.
Yeah. Would be shocked if he's not. So should
it'll be fun. Look, it's going to be a fun, few days where the attention of the NBA world and, frankly, even the sporting world, because at that point, the Super Bowl is going to be over and people are going to direct their attention onto the All-Star game. And Salt Lake's going to be front and center of the world right there at that point.
I don't typically take advantage of media access, but this is going to be one of those things where I'm going to take advantage of media access and get in there, go see some of these events. Came here in 1993,
yep. I remember that was a big deal. Tim probably remembers that, too.
Yeah, I did.
Did you go out to some of those back in 93, Tim, or did you?
Yeah, so I was in junior high at the time, and they had their big thing back then was back to school, was a back to school thing, and Bill Russell came and spoke at our junior high and spoke to us and did a whole bunch of things, and then we got to all bus up and do a bunch of the Saturday festivities. We got a big swag bag. I still have it.
Really?
Stuff from back in the day, a pin and a hat, and it was really cool.
But Bill Russell came to your junior high.
Came to my junior high and spoke to us about staying in school, and now I went to Kearns Junior High, so maybe that was part of it, because it was kind of a rougher junior high school. But
is that really what you took from Bill Russell?
to stay in school. That's what he said. Well, that's what he said, man. Did he not give you anything else?
Like,
well, it was all about like it was their stay in school program, whatever they were doing back then in the 93 or whatever. Was 93, is that when you said it was?
Yeah.
But I just remember I was in junior high. Anyway, it was a big thing. It was to stay in school and how important school was, and they came and did a big thing in your junior high. And like I say, and Bill Russell was there. And I just remember he was next to me, and I put my foot next to him, and his shoe was like four times my size.
You know what's crazy? Scotty and I get to talk a lot of people in this state. You know, we got listeners that come through, and we sit down with different clients and people, and it's amazing to hear the impact that that 93 All-Star weekend had here in the state.
100%.
It impacted a lot of people.
I tell my boys all the time how an amazing experience and weekend that was. And I still, look, I was what, probably 12? I don't even know what I was. 13, whatever I was. I still remember vividly what we did and what happened.
Well, and I remember, look, you know, I'm up in Idaho, but it was still a big deal. I'm an NBA nut. And watching it and seeing John and Carl get co-MVPs. But I will say, if you go back, if you ever have a chance, like go on YouTube and watch that game, it was – those guys took that game far more seriously than the guys do now. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Mark Price – people forget Mark Price was on fire in that game. And had the East won, probably would have been the MVP. And they're realizing this dude's on fire. So they're setting double screens to get Mark Price open. You don't see that in the All-Star game. I mean, these guys, it actually mattered to them. Now, I mean, look, it'll be fun, and you'll have the greatest, you know, athletes in the world here in Salt Lake City. But at the end of the day, those guys don't really care about who wins or loses that game. But back then, mattered.
It mattered, right? And those were fun. But even step back to like what we were talking about, just the festivities, just the fact that they came to my junior high school, right? And it was like they led up to it. It was a big event, and it was an event to the event. And so, and it was a neat experience, something I'll never forget. You know, frankly, it's similar, and I hate to compare it, but it was similar to when the Olympics were here.
Yeah.
It had a similar vibe and a similar feel to it.
So junior high, you were probably on a ladder working on soffit at that point.
I probably was. My dad made me. That's not fair to say. I was installing gutters when I was started when I was 14 years old. So probably about 91 is when I started. So you know what? I was probably 15 or 16 when the All-Star game was here. But anyway, nonetheless, I started hanging gutters when I was 14 years old.
So those gutters, and you've seen probably a lot of – well, there's a lot of people out there that will come out and say, "Oh, we'll put the heat tape in, or we'll put the leaf cover and stuff like that." If it's not done right, and if it's not done with the right product, it can actually do more damage than good.
Well, two things. So as far as the gutter covers are concerned, absolutely. If they're not installed correctly, if they're not rated for this ice weight, which, to be totally frank, there's only two or three products on the market that can handle this ice weight, it'll actually damage your shingles because it'll cause your shingles to lift and curl with that weight on them. So you can do some serious roof damage if you don't have a good gutter cover, A. B, the heat cable. If you don't use a good self-regulating heat cable, and what self-regulating cable means is it regulates to the outside temperature. The colder it is outside, the more heat it produces. The warmer it is outside, the less heat it produces. It doesn't turn itself on and off, but it regulates to the outside temperature. But the reason why that's important is, one, it's a much more efficient cable, A, but B, it's safe. If the cable ever touches itself for whatever reason, it'll immediately sense, hey, I don't need to send power to that point, and you don't have any risks of damaging the cable and or fires. But if you do the Home Depot type heat cable or a continuous wattage cable, there's no regulation. So if that heat cable ever gets loose and touches itself, now you've just shorted the cable out and can cause fires. And so the last thing you want to do is try to prevent ice and burn your house down. So you got to be very, very careful on the heat cable that you use. And so if you use a good self-regulated cable and a good gutter cover, you can literally make your gutters completely protected from the ice. But if you don't, then you can have some serious damage from the ice that we've had.
Well, it all starts with a quick phone call. Get you all the information you need. 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. You call RGS. And again, we're just talking rain gutters. But if it's on the outside of your home, you guys can get it squared away. Paint.
Stucco siding. Yeah,
you name it, man. You're good to go. You want to paint that brick? Tim's going to say, "You sure about that?" Because once you paint that brick, it's not going backwards.
Then we do it every day.
But when you sign off on it, you guys can do it.
That's right.
801-280-3110 right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.